Now let us turn to Isaiah and chapter 55, and we shall read again at verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Verse 6 calls to the sinner to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. And verse 7, to some extent, instructs and tells the sinner how he must seek the Lord. Now, we preachers are accused of claiming to have good news, but always to be bringing bad news. I was reading about one of these mega churches in, I think it was in Texas. Thousands and thousands of people go there. And there was an interview with the minister of that church. And that minister said, when people come to my church, they know that I will not put them down. And one has to question, surely one has to question whether such a minister is being faithful to the truth. And there is a greater question, is that minister really being kind? I think not. I think not. There is a day of judgment coming. Kindness is to bring that day before all men to cry, to flee from the wrath to come. The gospel, yes, it is good news, but it is indeed bad news to the sinner who is determined to keep his own sin, to keep his own way, when that way is utterly opposed to the way of God. But the gospel is good news to the sinner who seeks the Lord, the sinner who is conscious of his guilt before God, who truly believes that there is a day when he or she will stand before God. Great question for the sinner is, do they really believe these things? And if they do, surely the gospel is good news to them. First, the gospel brings good news to those who want relief from their sins, those who look for rightness with God. Now the first of these, the person who wants to keep their own way of life, the gospel is to them not good news, because they want salvation without repentance. The second of these would probably say, well, I want repentance. I want true repentance. I want to turn unto God. Now what we're going to look at this morning is repentance itself. What is repentance? This verse puts it clearly before us. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, first of all, repentance essentially involves a turning from sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There must be a turning. There is no true Christianity which says just do this or make this commitment and then life can continue as it was before. Enjoy life just as before. That is not the gospel. That is not Christianity. Christianity is based on repentance. That is the doctrine which today is so often set aside in the preaching of the gospel. Yet, if we were to examine the gospels and ask what was the first word that came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ during his public ministry, do you know what that word was? It was the word repent. Repent. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is no seeking of God, no true seeking without repentance. There is no true desire for freeness from sin and from guilt without a desire for repentance. There must be a turning from our outward way, from the way and the pattern of our lives. Let the wicked forsake his way. There must also be a turning from our inward thoughts. Are we content with our way? Are we content with the thoughts of our hearts? Is there any person present who would say that they are content with these things? The thoughts of our hearts so often appall us. God's command is that we turn from these things. Turn ye, why will ye die? The gospel, any response to the gospel involves repentance. There is a way of life which is wicked in the eyes of God. Now that's not necessarily a life of debauchery. The life could be outwardly without anything that anybody could point at as being wicked or debauched or evil or anything like that. And yet, there is a way of life apart from these things which is wicked in the eyes of God. That is a life of living unto ourselves. Living to satisfy our own desires. Living exactly the pattern of life which satisfies us without any regard for what pleases God. That, in the eyes of God, is wickedness. It is a life turned away from God. The verse here says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Because the wicked is turned away from the Lord. It is the way the wicked faces, not just what they do, not just the things that we could point a finger at, but the fact that they are turned away from God. That is their wickedness. There are patterns of thought which also are wicked in the eyes of God. As far as the outward life is concerned, when you think of people like the rich fool and even the rich young ruler, and even the Pharisee who prayed in the temple beside the publican. Could anybody point to any debauchery in these people's lives? Unlikely. And yet they were turned away from God, and they were wicked in the eyes of God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let him return unto the Lord. The truth of wickedness is not what we would call any kind of debauchery, but it is being turned away from God. Going your own way, leading your own lives, governing your own lives without any respect at all to the rule of God and the claim that God has over our lives. When we think of evil thoughts, again, it is not necessarily fleshly lusts, which I suppose that's the first thing we think of. But it is not just that, but it is a mindset, a hardness of mind, a hardness of thoughts towards God, having even grudges against God, and harboring grudges generally, harboring in our hearts things towards others, grudges and enmities which are offensive to God. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. On the one side are man's wickedness, and on the other side is returning unto the Lord. On the first side, it is things which are not always obvious to man, but they are things which are basically self-based. People leading their lives as if there was nothing that mattered, except that they go their own way. There must be repentance. There must be a forsaking of these things. There must be a turning away from sin. Let the wicked forsake his way. If we are serious about wanting to be Christians, if we are serious in our desire to seek the Lord, then the answer is that life must change. There must be a turning away from sin and a turning unto the Lord. Repentance means turning. But it means more than that. More than just a changed life. Sometimes we see the most amazing reformations in people without any repentance towards God. You all know of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it is quite amazing the way that they are sometimes able to help people to stop their drinking habits. Enables many of them to truly and finally turn from their abuse of alcohol. But among all the people that I have come across who have been through that process with Alcoholics Anonymous, I know of only one in whom that change was accompanied by repentance towards God, by a turning towards God. And in fact, what I have seen in others is very much an increase in their own pride, an increase in the esteem in which they hold themselves. Because although there is reformation of life, there is no repentance, there is no change, there is no turning away from sin in their hearts. Indeed, they are turned towards sin, toward that sin which is the most offensive towards God, and that is towards their own pride. Now, I spoke once to somebody who counseled people for Alcoholics Anonymous, and he said this to me. For the alcoholic, he says, every day in his life without drink is like looking into a black hole. So I had to ask myself, is that really a victory? Has that person broken the yoke of his sin? Has that person experienced a spiritual deliverance? And my answer had to be no. Every day, the battle is fought again and again and again. Every day, just like a black hole. No light. No Christ, no freedom in Christ, no light of gospel, truth, or anything like that. Nothing but this staring into this black hole. Repentance involves a turning, an outward turning. But it also involves a turning towards God. It has to be a gospel turning, not just a human reformation of life, not something which is based on willpower, but there has to be repentance towards God. And that brings us to our second point. That repentance essentially involves a turning from sin unto God. The example of the Thessalonians, that verse which we quote so often, it says about them that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead. They turned to God from idols, are turning away from idols, are turning away from example, from self, from making self an idol, from that, turning from that towards God. This brings us face to face with the nature of wickedness. What is wickedness in the eyes of God? What is unrighteousness in the eyes of God? What is the greatest wickedness, the greatest unrighteousness in the eyes of God? It is being turned away from God. It is rejecting him. It is unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the only begotten Son of God. Being a stranger to God and maintaining that alienation from God from day to day, keeping it that way without change, the determination, I will keep my life, I will not surrender it, it is my life, and I will do with it as I will. that stubbornness of mind and heart which just utterly refuses to be submitted unto God, that is wickedness. That is the greatest wickedness. That is unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. God says, forsake and return. God says, repent. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let him return unto the Lord. Now, it's an interesting thing here in the language that this word return unto the Lord, in the Hebrew language, it is simply the word return. The word repent. That we translate repent in the English language is simply the word return. So this could be translated, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him repent unto the Lord. Let him turn unto the Lord. Let him turn from his way. Let him repent. We speak about repentance. The Bible speaks about repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And that sharpens the point. That repentance is a turning towards God. It is a returning. A turning away from one thing and one way and taking another way. Psalm 90, which we sang together, thou dost unto destruction, man that is mortal, turn. And then to them thou sayest again, ye sons of men, return. Yes, man is under the condemnation of God. Yes, God turns man in his wickedness unto destruction. He is under the condemnation of God. And he is heading for destruction under the hand of God. And yet God says to them, ye sons of men, return. And unto them thou sayest again, ye sons of men, return. Repentance is a turning away from sin and a turning towards God. Now, thirdly, let's ask the question, if I am such a sinner as you, preacher, say, what is the point? What is the point in me seeking to turn to God? Now, I would say the question is a good one, because it shows that that person is giving this some thought. That this person has some understanding of the problem. If we are such sinners and have been for such a long time and so determined in our sin, so determined to keep our way, what is the point? What is the point of me turning to God? Surely God is not going to receive me after all these years. It is, I suppose, a bit like a prisoner under sentence. He's in the court and he has been found guilty and the judge pronounces sentence on him. And he is sentenced to perhaps so many years imprisonment for his crime. And when the judge pronounces sentence, the prisoner says, oh, just a minute. Let's just put this aside. Let's put all this enmity between me and the law and you, sir. Let's put that aside. And let's just be friends. I will return to you. I will repent. Now, of course, in normal court of law, that sort of thing just wouldn't work. And yet that is what it is like.
where there would be no chance of pardon before men, there is every chance of pardon before God. It is totally different. Men's dealings, men's law, men's grace, men's favor, these things are just so utterly different from these things as far as God is concerned. With a sinner returning unto God, there is a guarantee. A guarantee of mercy. A guarantee of abundant pardon. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So different from man's dealings. God is so different. The one who returns forsakes his way, returns unto the Lord, repents towards God. There is this inviolable guarantee. The word of God himself promises, with a promise which God cannot break. He promises mercy and abundant pardon. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Notice, he will twice. He will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. The emphasis that God means what he says. This is his inspired word. And he is the God for whom it is impossible to lie. He has spoken the guarantee. He has uttered the promise. And that's it final. He shows himself here as the God who entreats sinners, who calls sinners. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God's great entreaty towards sinners. God's invitation, God's persuasion, applied and directed towards sinners. He promises, forget Manasseh. What does it say about Manasseh? It says that God was entreated of him. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, found God to be the God of pardon and the God of grace. His life, as I often say, is quality time. It's a common phrase today, isn't it? Quality time. And I say to you that the whole of this life is quality time. Time to seek the Lord. Time when he is to be found. Time to call upon him. Time when he is near. Cannot avoid the inference that the time will come when he is not to be found. The time will come when he is not near. This is quality time. God is calling.
for this time. God has promised that during this time he can be found and that he is near. God is promising to the one who forsakes his sin, who genuinely wants to turn away from his selfish way of life, to turn unto God. God is making it clear that he will receive, that he will have mercy, and that he will abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy towards sinners. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art not vindictive towards us, that thou art not hard in receiving sinners, but that thy promise is that he that cometh to thee will in no wise be cast out. We thank thee, Lord, for the open door for returning sinners, repenting sinners. We ask thee that thou wilt, Lord, give us and enable us to turn and to turn unto thee. O grant it, Lord, give us strength. Give us courage. Give us all that we need. And forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.